Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. I call your attention to that little line where God said, I will set up my standard. I want to talk tonight on the subject, Lift up your standard and conceal not. That's found in Jeremiah 50 and verse number 2, those words, Lift up your standard and conceal not. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless me as I speak tonight and the hearts of our people as they listen. I believe that this message won't be a great message, but I believe what I'm going to say tonight ought to be said all over America. And I just may do it. But I want you to bless me as I bring the message to our people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. A standard was a flag. Sometimes it was a banner. On it was an emblem. The emblem of a country. The emblem of a military unit. Even the emblem marking a religion. Sometimes these standards were decorated by imitation of animals. Like we would, the lion would be a symbol of a standard on the standard of, say, England. Or the eagle, the bald eagle for America. Sometimes their gods, their pagan gods, were pictured on these standards. Sometimes the picture of the king would be on a standard. Sometimes the king's name would be written or printed on the standard. Or sometimes the country's, what we would call a logo, would be printed on the standard. The people proudly showed their identity by staying beneath the standard of their unit. Now I want you to notice that these standards were to tell people to what unit you belonged, what country you belonged. That's what the standard was all about. When I was in the Army, we used to have our parades, and each one of our outfits had its own standard or emblem. It carried out in the front of our battalion or company in the parade. And I always wore on my shoulder when I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I wore that 82nd Airborne patch on my shoulder. How proud of it I was. I wore that parachute on my cap, and how proud I was to belong to the 82nd Airborne Division and to be a paratrooper. I'm sure that some deeper life Jew said, the inside is all that matters. I'm sure some pussyfooting Jew said, doesn't matter about the standard on the outside, it's what's on the inside that matters. But God said, set up the standard. Let everybody know what crowd you're with. Let everybody know what country you represent. Let everybody know what unit you represent. Now, in Numbers 10:34, the journeying Israelites were instructed to put their tents beneath the standard of their respective families. Even the tribe of Dan in chapter 10 of Numbers, in verse number 31, the hindermost of the tribes of Israel, the one that brought up the rear, was instructed to have its standard. God was saying, put your sign up. God was saying, be proud of your tribe and be proud of your family. God was saying, let everybody know what tribe you belong to. Let everybody know what family you belong to. Don't be ashamed of it. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse 52, every man was told to stay by the standard of his family and to stay by the standard of his tribe. That's what I don't like about interdenominationalists. Put your name on your church. I mean, just say what you are. I don't like church names like community church and family center and gospel center and the church of the open door and the certain tabernacle. Put your standard up. If you're a Baptist, put on the sign. Don't conceal what you are. There's a church in this area that's a Nazarene church. And it has a big sign out there that says Community Church. and little bit of letters down at the bottom, it says Church of the Nazarene. Brother, put the Baptist a big B, a big A, a big P, big T, big I, big S, big T. God said put your standard up and be proud of your standard and be happy and let everybody know what you stand, what family you belong to, what tribe you belong to. Isaiah 59:19, God tells them, I love that, he loved this, he says, especially lift up your standard in the presence of the enemy. When the Philistines come, put your standard up. I belong to the tribe of Naphtali. I belong to the tribe of Judah. When the Syrians come, hold your standard up. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Jew. I belong to the company of the nation of Israel and the tribe of Judah. God said, when the enemy comes, raise your standard up. Let the enemy know what you belong to. Then, in Isaiah 62 and verse 10, they were told to lift up the standard on the highway. God said, don't put your sign in the back alley. Put it on the highway. Don't put your sign just on a neighborhood street. Put it on the highway. Now, highway, they only had one highway that went through every country. In those days, it was called the highway. God said, get out there where everybody travels and put that sign up and let the whole world know what your unit is, what your nation is, what your family is, what your tribe is. Don't be ashamed of your identity with your tribe, family, or nation. Then, when the Jews went to Babylon and were there for 70 years, God said in Jeremiah 51:27, he said, raise your standard in Babylon. Now, you're in a foreign country. Raise your standard. Boy, I like to go somewhere in a foreign country and get me a little American flag and wave it when I'm there. We were over in, years ago, I took a trip to the Holy Land. We toured Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, and we were in Jerusalem on the 4th of July. Any of you folks remember that? In Jerusalem on the 4th of July. And in those days, America wasn't very popular over there. Well, we had our own little private celebration in a hotel dining room or a place, and we had a little private celebration. I bought everybody little American flags. We walked all over Jerusalem, downtown Jerusalem, holding up those American flags and singing, God bless America. Praise God. You've heard me tell about when I was in England. I didn't plan to say this, but some of you folks have heard me tell about it. We were in England. On that very trip, we were in England. And they put us in a hotel where they gave me his house and me a private restroom, but didn't give one to the rest of the people. And they had promised deluxe accommodations. So I went down to the desk and I said, look, our people have got to walk down the hallway to use a big public restroom. I said, you promised us deluxe accommodations. He said, well, that's all we got left. I said, wait a minute now. You promised deluxe accommodations. These folks have mortgaged their houses. They've used their savings for a lifetime, and they've got a right to to be in first. And then this guy with his scissor-tailed coat and his formal striped breeches with his English accent, he said, that's what's the trouble with America. Oh, he shouldn't have said that. Before I knew it, fee-fi-fo-fum, I wanted the blood of an Englishman. And I jumped across the desk, and some of you guys saw me, and I grabbed him by the lapel and began to shake him. We had deacons had to pull me off of that guy. Now, you let me criticize America, but you Englishmen keep your cotton-picking mouth shut. I'm an American. And I'm an American, and I think a guy that desecrates the flag or burns the flag ought to be in the penitentiary for what he does. And I'm a little sick and tired of these pussyfooting congressmen and judges who are afraid to do it. Raise your flag high. Let the people know for whom you stand. God said, when you're in Babylon, he said, raise the standard. And he said, when you do, blow the trumpet. He said, blow the trumpet so they'll know where the sound's coming from, so they'll look at the standard while you raise the standard. In Jeremiah 50 and verse 2, God says, don't conceal your standard in Babylon. Don't hide it. Raise it high. And then, in verse number 6 of chapter 4 of Jeremiah, God told them to set up a standard of Zion while in Babylon. Get a big flag and write Z, I-O-N. And while you're there in Babylon, raise that flag high. Let the people know you're Jews. Let the people know you're from Zion. Let the people know you're from Jerusalem. Let the people know you're from Palestine. While you're slaves and captives in Babylon, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of what you are. And then God told him in Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 12, I like this, He said, while you're in Babylon, raise up a standard on the wall around the city of Babylon, the highest point in the city. So folks that come in the gate, out of the gate, can see your standard. Israel, Zion, a Jew, be proud of the fact that you are. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is in Isaiah 10:18. It says these words, when a standard bearer fainteth. How sad. I think of the standard bearers in America who fainted. I think of that preacher in Texas. I preached in his church 31 straight years. Not long ago, he got up and apologized to his people because of the standards he had had. How sad when a standard bearer fainteth. All of America, men that used to have convictions, and there's something about it, when a man gets older, he wants to soften and change his convictions. Young men, it's mighty easy you take your stand right now, but you decide to take that same stand 50 years from now. When you've been preaching 50 years, take the same stand you take now. Raise the standard high. Raise the standard high. And don't faint. How pitiful it is when a standard bearer fainteth. Now we have some standards that distinguish us from others. And we are to display them proudly. What are some of these standards? One is the King James Bible. Be proud of it. Now I'm going to say something you ladies aren't going to like. Get that little lace cover off your Bible. You make folks think you're carrying a purse. You got it all. Don't get mad at me now. Just do what I said. That's all. I mean, raise your old back. Let them know it's an old black King James Bible. Don't get you some little pink thing like that. Get you a black one like your Apostle Paul had. Well, I'm saying whatever color Bible you got, be proud of that Bible. Don't cover it up with some floral arrangement or a floral design on a piece of cloth that's trimmed in lace so folks will think you got a purse. Unzip the thing, throw the thing away, burn it, and don't be ashamed of that Bible right there. Carry it in public. Don't be ashamed of it. Hold it high. It's the standard. If you don't believe it, carry it in public and see. When I was in the Army in World War II, a King James Bible sat on my footlocker. Been a pink one out of court-martial, been court-martialed. Didn't have folks like that in my outfit in those days. Didn't have queers in the Army in those days. If it had been, it had been shot in battle. The barracks battle, that is. I'm saying my Bible sat right down there. We had our bed, a double-decker bed right here. We call them bunks. And the whole Army is a bunch of bunks as far as I'm concerned, but right here, had a shelf up here. I kept up here Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness up here. And right down there on my little footlocker, I kept my King James Bible. And one day a fellow came by and said, I said, take that Bible off that footlocker. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, then I will. I said, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. He said, I'm going to do it. I said, you're not going to do it. So I did it. But anyway, I'm saying there it was. Why? Because the Bible is our standard. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Carry it to work. Take it to school. Carry it on the street. Take it on the airplane. Read it. It's the standard. Raise it high. Let the enemy know. Let him see you belong to Jesus. Let the heathen know you belong to Jesus. Put it on the highway. Put it on the top of the wall. Let the folks know the highest place you can put it, put the Bible there. You heard the story. I was out in Long Beach, California. Pastor was driving me to the service. He said to me, we're driving down the freeway. He said, we're being followed by a lady. That's nothing unusual for me. I said, well, he said, I think a lady is following us. It's a car behind us. We turned off from the freeway onto a street about like Calumet Street down here. And she turned off. He said, she's still following us. So he said, I'm going to turn off on this little side street. He turned off on the side street. She turned off on the side street. Finally, she flashed her light. He stopped. He got out of the car and said, what is it? She said, I want to get right with God. He said, well, how did you know we could help you? She said, on the freeway, I saw that Bible up there on the dash. I was on an airplane flying from out east. Beside me was a very attractive little lady about 21 years of age. Sometimes I'm lucky, sometimes I'm not. So I was working, and she was reading the paper or something, and this real good-looking guy came walking down the aisle, and he stopped and looked at her and said, hello there, baby. She said, how do you do? Very modestly. He walked back, back of the airplane, walked up, stopped, and he said, hello there. She said, how do you do? Son, put your head up like you're in church, not like you're taking a nap. And this good-looking guy comes back and stops at the chair. And between the time he stopped the second time, he went up. And between that time, she just very kindly gets a little Bible out and begins to read it. And he comes up and said, goodbye. See, that Bible told him she was a child of God. That Bible told him she wasn't the kind that'd get picked up. That Bible told him she was a decent person. And that Bible will tell the whole world that you believe this is the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of it. It's your standard. Get under your banner. Be proud of it. I'm a child of God. Let the whole world know. And my Bible reveals it to the whole world. There's a second standard, and that's the church. I'm proud to be a Christian. I want everybody to know it. I'm proud to be a Baptist Christian. I want everybody to know it. I'm proud to be an independent Baptist Christian. I want everybody to know it. I'm proud to be a fundamental independent Baptist Christian. I want everybody to know it. I'm proud to be a King James Bible fundamental independent Baptist Christian. I want everybody to know it. I'm proud to be a First Baptist Church of Hammond independent King James Bible fundamental Baptist Christian. I want everybody to know it. When I go somewhere and somebody says, what is your name? I was at a florist this other day. Get me a corsage. I walked in, had several people there. And I said, I placed an order. And she said, what is your name? And I said, Jack Hiles. And man, you talk about necks turning. I was in Hammond here. And boy, Emma turned. And then they looked around like they weren't looking. I started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet. They knew who I was. And bless God, I happen to like the name Jack Hiles. I happen to be proud I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Some of you folks say, what? They say, what church you go to? I go to the Baptist Church. Not me, buddy. I go to First, F-I-R-S-T-B-A-P-T-I-S-T, First Baptist Church of H-A-M-M-O-N-D, Hammond, Indiana, I-N-D-I-A-N-A. I'm saying, get under the standard and let the world know this is my crowd. Millions. Millions of born-again Christians are flying under the Methodist standard tonight. Get under the fundamental standard where you belong. Presbyterian, they're tucked away in these churches, born-again people.
Mama was a Methodist, and Dad was a Methodist, and Granddad was a Methodist, and John Wesley was a Methodist. I'll bind you one thing, Buster. If John Wesley were alive tonight, he wouldn't go down here on Holman Avenue to the First Methodist Church. I'll bind you that. And if he did, they wouldn't let him in. If you're a fundamentalist, get in a fundamentalist church. If you're born again, get in the church of born again people. If you believe that book, get in the church and denomination that believes that book. Millions of our born again people tucked away in Southern Baptist churches, American Baptist churches. You don't want to bear the stigma of old fashioned fundamentalism. I told you one time I was on an airplane sitting down beside this wealthy businessman. Lived over in the Gold Coast in Chicago, one of these apartments or condominiums overlooking the lake. The guy was president of a big company, and he thought I was a big businessman too. Maybe a lawyer, a doctor, something. CEO of a company. And he said, I said, what kind of business? He told me, president of a corporation. He said, what is your profession? Now, you'd have said, lecturer, college executive, school administrator of a system of schools. I said, Baptist preacher. He said, are you a regular Baptist preacher? A normal Baptist preacher? Are you way out on the right like Jerry Falwell? I said, you wouldn't want to know what I am. I said, I'm so far right, Falwell's on the left. He said, and I love this. I love to get him on this. He said, oh, one of those fragments. I said, yeah, we got over 100,000 members. I said, we had 22,000 in church last Sunday. Oh, he put his pen down. I said, we have a college with several, 2,000 or 3,000 students, and we have two high schools and two grade schools and one junior high school, and we have the largest church in the whole nation. I said, how much money did your corporation take in last year? He said, $8 million. I said, ours took in $15 million, thank you. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll sing it, I'll tell it, wherever I go. I want all to hear it. I want all to know I belong to the independent, fundamental Baptist, born again, blood washed King James Bible camp. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Take your stand. Take your cover off your Bible and show it. Let folks know you belong to First Baptist Church of Hammond. There's a third standard I want to talk to you about tonight. The standard that identifies you. Your Bible identifies you. Your church is a standard under which you ought to proudly stand. And you expected this. Your dress. A swimsuit is not our standard. And if you're saved wearing a swimsuit, then you belong to one tribe and you got the standard flying you over you of another tribe. Women in pants is not our standard. That's the world standard. That's Hollywood standard. That's Broadway standard. That's the soap opera standard. That's the heathen standard. That's the style show standard. If you run around wearing a pair of pants and you're a woman, that means that you belong to one camp, but you got another flag flying over your camp. Wearing shorts is not our standard. Short skirts is not our standard. Long hair on men is not our standard. Well, you say, I'm a fundamentalist just like you are. Then wear the uniform. Earrings on men is not our standard. Necklaces on men is not our standard. Bracelets on men is not our standard. Mod haircuts on men is not our standard. Tight sweaters on women is not our standard. Low-cut dresses on women is not our standard. Tank tops is not our standard. Rock music is not our standard. Mod language is not our standard. Running with the wrong crowd, the mod crowd, is not our standard. I'm simply saying, if you are going to be a blood-washed, redeemed child of God, then put the flag over you so everybody will know that you're blood-washed, redeemed.
I was in Wichita, Kansas. Dr. John Rice and I were there together. Had a book table out in the lobby. We had a citywide Bible conference. Rented a high school auditorium, public school auditorium. Out in the lobby, there's a book table. Between the two services, we had a 15-minute intermission between Dr. Rice's sermon and mine. Dr. Rice and I were out there at the book table. Here comes a couple of long-haired hippies. I said, uh-oh, somebody's invading from the outside. So I walked up and I said, fellas, do you know if you died today or tonight, you'd go to heaven? One of them said, hallelujah, glory be to God. I said, how about you, fella? I guess, fellowette. I said, you know, if you die, they go to heaven. He said, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I said, fellas, I want to ask you forgiveness. I judged you. I said, I saw your long hair. I saw the way you were dressed. And I thought you were a couple of left-wing hippies. And one of them looked at me, put his hands on his waist like that, and said, that's the trouble with you fundamentalists. Always judging from the outside. I said, how did you know I was a fundamentalist? Why, as I can tell by your haircut and your King James Bible. I said, that's the trouble with you Jesus freaks, always judging from the outside. And ladies and gentlemen, the whole world judges from the outside. If you see something that wags its tail, has floppy ears, and barks, it's probably a dog. You see something that's cuddly and has short hair and has whiskers like that and says meow, it's probably a cat. A cat doesn't bark, a dog doesn't meow, a fish doesn't fly, a bird doesn't swim. I'm trying to tell you, everything has its own identity and ought to be proud of it. And a child of God ought to look like a child of God, dress like a child of God, sing like a child of God, walk like a child of God, live like a child of God, talk like a child of God. Put your standard up. Raise it high. If you're not one of them, take down their standard. If you're one of us, put up the standard. I was on a furlough in Dallas back in the days I was in paratroopers. My girlfriend was Beverly, and I wanted to impress her. I didn't want to wear that tan coat or shirt with the olive green jacket. They call those things blouses in those days. That always bothered me. They called them blouses. I never would do it. I called it a jacket. But I wanted to impress my girlfriend, so I, on a date one day, I put on a white shirt with that paratroop uniform. I had on my jacket, had on my insignia, had on my cap, but instead of the tan shirt, I had on a white shirt. Didn't have a car. I went downtown to catch a streetcar bus and go out to see Beverly. I was waiting on a streetcar, and up comes this Jeep. Has the two guys in there, has a big thing on their arm, says MP. That stands for Military Police. They got out and said, come with us. I said, what have I done? They said, you're out of uniform. I said, I got my pants on, got my shirt on, got my coat on. They said, soldier, you belong to the United States Paratroopers. And United States paratrooper don't wear white shirts. They took me down to the military police thing. I thought I was going to be punished with capital punishment. I thought they had the electric chair. Oh, to them, it was a big deal. They said, if you are a paratrooper, we want you to look like a paratrooper.
If you belong to the 82nd Airborne Division, you ought to be proud of the uniform of the 82nd Airborne Division. If you belong to Jesus' division, you ought to be proud of Jesus' division and proud of the way you wear your hair and proud of the way you wear clothes you wear and look like a fundamentalist and dress like a fundamentalist and sing like a fundamentalist and talk like a fundamentalist. Put up your standard.
I love that little story that the lady told not long ago. She was out here at a health food store. I think it was in Cherryville. A little lady said, "You get 10% discount." She said, "Why?" She said, "All the Hiles people get 10% discounts here." She said, "How did you know I was a Hiles person?" And the lady said, "You can tell." Let me ask you a question. Would you have gotten the discount? You fellows with your earrings that have paid full price. You ladies with your pants on that have paid full price. You men with your long shaggy hair that paid full price. Now let's go back. But God said to the Jews, get under the right banner. He said, get under the banner of the standard of your tribe and the standard of your family. And I say tonight to you, and God says it through me, and God says it to you. Get under the standard of the family of God. Now let's go back again. He said, raise the banner when in the presence of the enemy. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm afraid somebody would think I was trying to be different. You get any idea? Tell you what, I want to be different from this heathen generation. I want to be different from those kids I see going to school as I come to work sometime in the morning. Those kids going to school look like a bunch of pagans. I mean, girls wearing short shorts to public schools. And educators and congressmen and senators and judges haven't got enough guts to say, dress decently. And all of them know we're going down the tube. And the reason is we've lost our standards. It wasn't the Methodists had standards, they've lost them. Standard bearer has fainted. There was a day when Presbyterians had standards. They've lost them. There was a day when Assembly of God had standards. They've lost them. There was a day when Southern Baptists had standards. They've lost them. There was a day when Nazarene had standards. They've lost them. There was a day when the Church of God had standards. They've lost them. I'll tell you what, if God will give me strength, the old church downtown in Hammond will not lose our standards. And the standard bearer is not going to faint. Then don't forget, he said to the Jews, raise your standard on the highway. Then he said, let everybody in Babylon know. That's what you do. Just ask anybody in Hammond what I stand for. Ask them. They may like me, they may hate me. I often say, if you come to Hammond as a guest and mention my name, duck or pucker. You'll get slugged or kissed, one or the other. Somebody said to J. Frank Norris and his pastor, First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, you know that 90% of the people in Fort Worth hate you? He said, you know any other man in Fort Worth that 90% of the people know? They may not like me, but they know where I stand. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to get anybody in this church under false pretense. I tell you, in the invitation time, if you want to join an old-time religion, King James Bible, independent, fundamental Baptist church, come down the aisle. If that's not what you want, don't come down the aisle. I'll not get you under false pretense. Then God says, set your standard on a wall of Babylon. Sometimes what you do. Just sit for a while and look at this massive building. And realize how big it is. Sometime when it's empty, go to that corner up there and look at it. You won't believe how big this thing is. After you've done that, go out to Baptist City. And look at that 28 acres at Baptist City and all those buildings out there. Go out there while school's letting out someday and see all the students as they're leaving. See that magnificent Baptist city. Go out to Hiles Anderson College and see the world's most beautiful campus.
all started with a man named Wells Walker. Wells Walker. We're trying to build Baptist City. We didn't have enough money. I needed to borrow $700,000, and brother, $700,000 then was like $5 million now. There's a little bank over here called Hoosier State Bank where we did our business. I went over and talked to Mr. Walker. He was vice president of that bank over there. And I said, I'd like to borrow $700,000. He almost coughed up food. He said, $700,000? I said, yes, sir. He said, I can't let you borrow it. I said, won't you let me borrow it? Won't you let God borrow it? He said, man, don't put it that way. I said, Mr. Walker, we got to have $700,000. He said, I can't do it. I said, do me a favor. Give me a half a day of your time to talk to you. Just come over to the church, spend a half a day, let me present my case to you for a half a day. We had a conference room where Mrs. Colston's office is now. And Wells Walker came from the Hoosier Bank over here. It's closed now. It moved down on Holman Avenue. It's a part of NRA or something. BVD is a part of some deal. He came up, and I spent a half day with him. Still didn't get the money. This building right there had a wall right here then. None of this over here. You folks over here weren't even alive then. Just you folks here were members of our church at that time. Right up the pulpit was right here, and that was the center aisle. We couldn't get the money. I said, would you pray about it? I didn't know if they knew what prayer meant. He said, I can't get... I said, look, just promise me you won't give me a final answer for a few days. I was sitting right up here the next Wednesday night, and do you know Wells Walker walked in that door back there? Sat down right there next to the aisle, next to the wall, and I said, oh, my brother, Bible study I'm going to give tonight will knock him off the Christmas tree. There goes our $700,000. Oh, that stupid promise I made God years ago out in the woods of East Texas. What I didn't know was that Wells Walker was a member of Christian Fellowship Church over here. What I didn't know that Wells Walker was a Christian. Wells Walker sat right back here with his wife. She's still a member of this church. I'm sure she's here tonight. In those days, we had a youth choir on Wednesday nights, teenagers. And that night, our teenage choir walked out. And Wells Walker looked over to Mrs. Walker and said, I didn't know young people like that existed anymore. Look at those young men with their haircuts and white shirts and ties. Look at those young ladies with their modest dresses. I didn't know people like that existed in America anymore. Wells Walker called me the next morning and said, you can have your $700,000. But that isn't all. We wouldn't own Howells Anderson College today if it weren't for Wells Walker. Not only is Baptist City there because of Wells Walker, but Howells Anderson College had to borrow over $1.3 million, had 12 days to borrow it, and Wells Walker found it for us. We wouldn't have had our college without Wells Walker. That isn't all. This half of this building would not have been built had it not been for Wells Walker. What am I saying? I'm saying it was the standards that caused this. You folks wouldn't even be here tonight if it weren't for Wells Walker. We'd just have it all to ourselves tonight. You folks that walk down the hallway of Howells Anderson College, we wouldn't have that college property today if it hadn't been for the standards of our young people. And what I thought would knock him off the Christmas tree caused him to be an ornament on the tree. And by the way, within a matter of a few weeks, he joined First Baptist Church of Hammond. became a deacon in our church. One of the most loyal men you ever met in your life. I recall when we were trying to raise the money for the college. We were trying to raise $2.5 million. We came within 12 days of it and only had $1.2 million. And I was all the way at the bottom. I didn't know what in the world we were going to do. I called and I found about a college in Michigan that was going to lose their property if they didn't have $80,000. We had $1.2 million, needed $2.5 million. I called the deacons together and said, "Fellas, I don't think we can raise ours. We may lose our building, but I know a college in Michigan that can save theirs for $80,000. I said, "We can save somebody's college if it can't save ours." Independent Fundamental Baptist College. And I said, "I make a motion, or I entertain a motion, that we take $80,000 of what money we have and send it to that school up in Michigan and save their property." That vice president of that bank was on our board by that time. He stood up. He said, "What did you say?" He said, "Did I hear you say that we need $1.3 million and you want to give $80,000 away?" I said, "That's what you heard." He said, "Brethren, I'm a deacon on this board, and what that preacher said doesn't make one shred of sense." He said, "As a businessman, it is stupid. As a banker, it is ignorant." But he said, "If the pastor thinks it's what we ought to do, I'd like to make the motion we give that college up there $80,000. And we took that $80,000 and gave it to that college, and the next day Wells Walker called me and said, "I think I can help you find the rest of the money." Now, all of that because of standards. Ladies and gentlemen, these churches that are compromising to get people, see how many folks they have tonight. They can't even take an offering. They haven't got enough people to be ushers. And most of them don't even have Sunday night services. And every single denomination that has fainted with its standards has died. Look at Methodism in John Wesley's day and compare it now. Look at Presbyterianism in John Calvin's day and compare it to now. I'm saying when you lose your standards, you lose your standard, the standard bearer faints, and all of a sudden, God's blessings are lifted. God said, "Tell them whose you are." It's an old story. You've heard it time and time again. But I can't think of anything else to say. And I got 5 minutes. I got to fill up. Little girl sitting on the front row, second row down here, that sang with Miss House tonight, did the best it could without help from the best voice in the family. She was in high school. She needed a dress to go to a banquet. I think it's a sweetheart banquet. Not sure. I took her over to the Woodmar Shopping Center, Carson Perry and Scott, where it is, and there's a little ladies' shop there to buy her dress. We walked in, and she or I one said to the clerk, "We need a dress for a banquet." A lady came out and brought us a blouse. At least that's what it looked like. She said, "What do you think about this one?" And I said, "Ma'am, we had a dress in mind." She said, "This is a dress." I said, "Yeah, but we didn't want a baby's dress. We wanted a teenager's dress." I was afraid that Cindy was embarrassed. She went back a little disgustedly, and she brought another one out. It had grown a little bit since she brought the first one out. But still, it wouldn't cover all of the thigh even. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but that dress is not near long enough." She went back and got another one. She brought it out. And I said, "Ma'am, you got to come a fur piece further down." All of a sudden, a startled look came on her face. She looked at Cindy, and she said, "I bet you go to First Baptist." And Cindy said, "Yes, I do." And she looked at Cindy and she said, "I want you to know, young lady, I'm sorry." And a teenage daughter of ours looked up and said, "Don't feel sorry for me. I'm proud to be a member of First Baptist Church. The kind of dress that my daddy's looking for is exactly the kind that I'm looking for. I just want you to know that God has said to his people all through the generations and all through the history of Christianity, put your standard up. On the highway. On the wall. Let the enemy see it. Put it up in Babylon. Put it up in Zion. Put it up wherever you are. Let them know what family you belong to. Let them know what tribe you belong to. God said, lift up the standard. Lift up the standard. Ask a question. You been ashamed of the standard? You been ashamed of the standard? Been ashamed of that book? Been ashamed of the church? Been ashamed of our independent Baptist relationship? Affiliation? Been ashamed to dress like a child of God? Tell you what you can do. You can drive down the streets of Hammond, and if you see a couple of three young fellows with a white shirt and ties on and a nice suit, and you see several young ladies with skirts that come down below their knees, you can almost roll down your window and say, I'll see you Sunday. Because you know where they go to church. You know where they go to church. Praise God tonight for the standards. Lift up the standards, God said. Would you bow your heads?